Welcome to the Willingdon On Mission podcast, a place where you can hear stories of how God is working and consider how He might be calling you to engage in His mission. You can find other episodes online at willingdon.org. Now, here's our host, John Best.
Welcome to the Willingdon on Mission podcast. My name is John, and I'm one of the pastors at Willingdon. Today, I've got the opportunity to have a conversation with Kiana Liu. Thank you, Kiana, for meeting with me today. Kiana's one of our newest missionaries. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, Kiana?
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be with you today. My background goes back to Iran, and I was born and raised in Iran in a very religious family. Immigrated to Canada in 2013, met my wonderful husband at Willingdon Church, and got married in 2019. And I started full-time mission work in Vancouver Grand Area 2020.
Okay. So your journey to faith in Jesus and then your story of living as a follower of Jesus in a challenging setting is a story that's been an encouragement to me and to others. Can you just give us a little glimpse of your journey as a follower of Jesus?
Of course. When I got introduced to Jesus Christ, I was in a pretty low part in my life. I was living with my mom, and my mom was a single parent that time. They just got divorced, and I was dealing with a lot of hurt and trauma actually I received through men in my life, and it was a very difficult time for me in my life, and we got to meet a guy who his life was transformed by his faith to Jesus. And the question of if Jesus, whoever this guy is, can change a monster to a godly, trustable man, I want to know this guy. And that question took me to church, and my journey started there. It took me a while because I was from a very religious family, and I had so many questions. How could all those be wrong? And eventually, I would say 2 years later, I came to myself. I was flipping through my poem books. I was a poet. I was flipping through my poem books, and all my poems were about my love and experiencing this deep relationship with Christ. And I had no doubt. At that moment, I knew that He's my Savior, and He has changed my heart and my life. And I wasn't that sad little girl who always cries and hates all the men around her, but I was transformed into this new person who experienced the living water. And that was the beginning of it all. I don't know how many of you know, in Iran, if you actually convert from Islam to any other religion, you are a criminal. So I commit my first crime when I was a teenager, right there. And I guess that was not really easy to live always with the fear of government arresting you and noticing that you have converted, but at the same time, being a light and sharing Christ. And I was very young and passionate, and I guess I didn't do a good job at hiding that. And at university especially, whoever would sit next to me, they would end up at church next week. And I think that got me into trouble because the whole head of security of the country, there is a organization like CIA, a little bit different, but they started to contacting me, and then eventually just I cannot say arresting me because it was more like kidnapping me at the street. And it was a lot of interrogations leading to torture and a lot of endless nights in jail. And Believe it or not, all of it was because I converted from Islam to Christianity. And in my heart, I believe in a different God. And it was a very stressful and hard journey. And they kicked me out of university. They sent a letter to my boss, asking my boss to fire me. Otherwise, they will shut the whole company down. And they literally put me down in this blacklist, we call it, that I was not allowed to go into any educational situation or like institutes or universities, public or private. I could not get enrolled in any company and earn money, nor I couldn't even do freelancing. And all of my bank accounts got shut. And really, one by one, all the humanly rights were taken away from me. And it got to the point that they forced me into signing my own death letter that I was... I literally wrote down that I do not convert back to Islam under any circumstances, and I accept any punishment, including jail and hanging. And that was the end of it, because after that, we got this letter that that was like more like an invitation to my own hanging ceremony or whatever you'd call it. And that there was the beginning of my journey of fleeing out the country and starting my new journey. And that was very challenging itself, because I didn't want to leave, but it was God's plan for me. And I was a refugee in Turkey for 2 years. And with God's grace, I was able to have a church at my own place, my own house, invite people there, and live on mission wherever you are. And then I did not choose to come to Canada. It was totally God's plan for me. And after 2 years, I got sent to Canada, Vancouver. And 2013, I got to Canada, and I started my life here. And from the very beginning of my arrival, I was always thinking, how and where can I serve God? And at the beginning, I was very individually serving. I was working with women who came from background of abuse, like myself, and it was not what God wanted for me, because I was so alone. I was getting burnt out almost on monthly basis, because there was no support team, there was no guidance. I was just like out there trying to serve, but not having any guidance. I don't know how to explain it, but I was just going around in all our churches, Farsi-speaking churches, finding all these people and trying to serve God everywhere. And it was not working, because it wasn't God's plan for me. So I started praying and asking God, what is God's plan for my life? And it was 2017 that in one of the churches that I was serving at, I received a letter to a grand opening of an organization, and that was very interesting for me, because I was working with a lot of refugees, and that organization was based on helping refugees. And I went to that grand opening, and the founder of the organization, which is called House of Umid, the founder of the organization was trying to tell how the story of House of Umid started and where was the idea born of. And he was telling my story. He was saying that he was going around and trying to serve people. He was finding refugees. But God gave him this vision of starting his own organization that was supported not by government money, but by the churches and the donations, so he can share Christ. And I called him the next day. I was like, I want to volunteer for you. And that was the beginning of my my working with Hasu Umid, that everything started from there.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that story.
Of course.
Deeply inspiring, actually. Thank you. So you work with House of Omid now. That's yes. The organization that you've just been talking about. Can you tell us a little bit about the organization as it is today? Like, it's been around now for 5 years or close to 5 years. What does House of Omid do, and what's your role?
Sure. Well, House of Omid helps refugees and newcomers to Canada to settle down, basically, by providing a variety of services, from helping them to find housing, teaching them how to navigate their ways around the city by teaching them how to use the public transit and what is campus card, and how to open bank account, go to doctor appointments, translate for them whenever they need translation, or help them with their paperwork because of the lack of English, having English classes for them because that's the greatest need right now. And we have food bank, which helps with the newcomers who don't have a lot of money and they don't have a lot of access, so they can receive monthly credit to get food that is actually culturally diverse to Farsi-speaking culture. And also we have services that we strengthen the body of Christ in Middle East and Iran by providing TV programs, worship and sermons. And we do a lot of work in that area as well, among refugees, people who need it, but they don't have access to it. Because in Iran, right now, all the building churches are shut down and everything is underground and they don't have access. So we kind of try to have a big part in there as well. And my main role at House of Omid is to kind of catch fish when they come to receive these free services. These people are all from Muslim background and mainly Muslim. And when they come, I build relationship through House of Omid with them. I get to know them personally, one-on-one. I get to pray with them and spend a lot of time with them. And a lot of the times we organize outreach events that, for example, for our Persian New Year, we organize events that we do a lot of fun stuff that all these people get attracted to, and they come and they tell their friends, and we have managed to build this community, and people love to come and just see the smile in their faces and how much they love to come. It's the whole world for me. And at the beginning, it was so hard. They couldn't trust. I would ask 10 people, can I pray for you? And maybe one of them would be willing to. And now I'm praying with one, and I turn around, there's a lineup. People are waiting to be prayed for. This is amazing. And people who are waiting to be prayed for are Muslim people. They're like, I've been praying for my son to come to Canada for 4 years, and I asked you to pray, and 6 months later, he was here. I want to pray to that God. And that's amazing to see how God is working. Yeah.
Wow, thank you. So what are some of the realities and the needs that recent immigrants from Iran, whether they're immigrants or refugees, however they come, from Iran and Afghanistan, what are some of the realities and needs that they face?
There are a lot of needs, but it starts with the need of housing first. They need a temporary place to stay while they're trying to settle down and find their more permanent house or permanent place to stay. They don't even know what is Craigslist to look for housing. And then after that, it's the big one is language. They usually come with very poor, limited English, and to build that language is so challenging. And finding job and being able to connect their skills and their education here with the need that Canada has for jobs. And a lot of them come with children, just connecting them with the right school and And finding that red community for their children is a great need, especially for single moms and single dads. And we have needs from furniture to clothing to I don't know, food. It's a lot of need. And each family is different, but mainly it's around these areas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you. Can you tell us a couple of stories, things that God has done through your ministry or through House of Omid?
Oh, of course. The stories are so many. And that is my joy to watch all of these stories actually happening. But if I wanted to just give you a couple, one of them that I still am seeing the transformation happening is actually one of the people who volunteers with us and works with us. She came to Canada about 4 years ago, and she came with knowing no one and having no connection. She finds someone in the literally a street, and that person tells her that we have a great community in church. Do you want to come? She goes to the church, and there is a piano in the corner of the room there. She asks the person who is leading the Persian community in that church and asks, can I play piano? Because in Iran, I used to play piano, and I feel so lonely and sad here. Just seeing that piano reminds me of home. Can I play it? And then that person says, you know, there's an organization called House of Omid. They have free piano classes. And when the classes are not happening, I'm sure you can go there and play piano. And that was her connection with us. She comes to House of Omid. And through that connection, we tell her which times these pianos are not being used. She comes there to just play piano, and then she realizes that everything we provide, all the services she needs there. She has to go to the lawyer. She needs our services. She has to learn English. She needs our services. So there is this one day she comes, and she breaks in tears, and she says, today I had nothing to do at House of Omid. But I woke up and I felt I want to see my family. Mm. And she came to House of Omid. I'm sorry. She came to House of Omid just to see us because she called us her family. And that was the beginning of that relationship, that we could share Christ with her. And she would see the difference was only because of Christ, and that love was only from above. And shortly after, she goes to the same church, and she tells the pastor, I want to get baptized today. Mm. And the pastor was like, slow down. and she gives her life to Jesus, and now she's one of our committed volunteers who does everything. And that transformation that is still happening and we still see it tells everything to us. Mm. And this story are tons. Yeah.
Thank you. That's amazing. What an awesome story.
Yeah.
So this conversation has perhaps sparked some interest for somebody in participating in this ministry in some way. What are some ways that somebody could participate?
Of course. Well, we have a website, houseofomid.ca, and Omid is EE. And in our website, you can find what we're doing and what are the ways to volunteer with us. We do need volunteers in a lot of different areas, and I would be very happy to talk with them to find out what area would fit them very well. And also another way would be financial support, because our organization is totally relied on all the donations that comes to our organization. And again, you can find donations on our website as well. And another big area of support is prayer. Mm-hmm. You could pray for our clients. You could pray for us and the ministry that God is leading. And And I personally believe that the prayer is a big part of a ministry. And mm-hmm. if you have a big support of prayers, just fighting the fight for you, that is the front line, actually. So if you guys remember us, please keep us in your prayers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So if anyone's interested, anyone who's listening, in finding out more, check out the website houseofomeed.ca, or contact me and I'll put you in touch with Kiana, okay? Kiana, you've mentioned prayer as an important foundation. Let's finish off this conversation with prayer. How can I pray for you?
Thank you. Well, please pray for Houseofomeed as a whole, and as we face new challenges and as we walk this journey, that God be the center and the leader above and beyond and beside and everywhere. And right now, as we speak, we are looking for a new place, because at the end of the year, we have to leave this place. And we outgrown the space we had. We are like, each room is being used for like 3-4 purposes. and please pray that God will lead us to the place that He has for us, because there are a lot of different factors. A lot of our clients, they don't drive, so it needs to be accessible, and it needs to have enough room for our food pantry, that food bank we have every week, and a lot of different services that we have are like time, place, like they need a place. For example, we cannot have our English classes in person anymore, because we have a studio that we record TV program for Iran, and that place can't change quickly to a classroom and a studio again. So we need prayer for a place. And also, we do not have our full budget raised, so we need prayer for fundraising. And also, we do need prayer for all of the people who are serving with us and people who are working with us. This is a lot, right?
This is wonderful. We can pray. We can pray for these things.
I want to add one more.
Yeah, yeah.
Please pray for the clients who are coming to Houseofomeed to find living water. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, let's pray. And those of you who are listening, pray along with us. But I would also encourage you to pray for Kiana and for Houseofomeed regularly, if you would. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the way that you have transformed Kiana's life. Thank you that your spirit has brought her from death to life. And thank you that you've called her into a specific ministry with Houseofomeed, and that it's such a neat fit for her gifts and her experience and her language and culture and all of that. So Lord, I want to pray for Houseofomeed, and I pray that you would provide a fabulous facility for this organization to call home in this next season. So would you open up the floodgates of provision for that? I also pray, Lord, that you would encourage generous givers to come alongside this ministry so that they can meet their budget for this year. And for all of the volunteers and people who are connected in a giving sort of way to Houseofomeed, I pray for fresh encouragement. I pray for fresh empowerment by your spirit. I pray that you would work mightily in them and through them as they serve. And then, Lord, I pray for all of the people who will encounter this ministry, Houseofomeed, and for people who have recently come to Canada and who are in need of tangible help, but also who may be searching and whose lives have been uprooted and changed in some ways. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be preparing them to meet you, and that many, many people would turn towards you and experience you. Lord, I know that you often in various parts of the world have met Muslim people in dreams and visions, and so I pray that you would do that here, and that people would encounter you and would then seek to know who it is that they've met in your dream, in their dreams, and that it's you. And so would you point them towards House of Omid and other believers in the Farsi community. So I pray, Lord, for your spirit to be at work in ways beyond what we could really ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Kiana, thanks.
Thank you.
It's been a joy to have this conversation. And again, for anyone who's listening who would like to learn more, would you either check out the website, houseofomid.ca, or get in touch with me and I'll put you in touch with Kiana. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. We hope you have been inspired by your time with us today. To learn more about Willingdon's outreach ministries, or to hear more episodes of this podcast, find us online at willingdon.org.